I'm Wendy Bergen. I'm just a regular mom with a husband, a bunch of kids, and some dogs. And I'm the founder of Joyfully Prepared, a business dedicated to teaching busy moms skills like gardening, food preservation, natural remedies, and more, so they can take care of themselves through developing talents, supporting their families with confidence, and saving money. I've rolled down the mountain of accomplishment so many times that I have skinned knees, grass in my teeth, and sticks in my hair. All of these mistakes have actually allowed me to become more confident in my knowledge and skills. I'm eager to learn and strive to create a space where people want to learn. Oh, I'm not perfect. In fact, someone once described me as the queen of preparedness, but normal, without scaring people. Whether it's canning, gardening, emergency preparedness, or anything else, I teach others to feel confident in learning it. Hi, this is the Joyfully Prepared podcast, and I'm your host, Wendy Bergen. And today I have a guest that I'm excited for you to meet. Her name is Leah Jacobson. And she is going to talk about essential oils and how to use essential oils safely. So welcome, Leah. Thanks for being here.
Well, thanks so much for inviting me.
You're very welcome. So Leah, why don't you share with our audience kind of your background and then we'll roll from there.
Sure. Well, I started using essential oils about 10 years ago. I was approached by somebody that was very into essential oils, sold them, and she wanted me to sign up under her company. And at the time, I was super busy with my natural health blog. I was into herbs and homeschooling, home birthing, the whole nine yards. And I'm like, you know, I really don't have any time to look into essential oils because I don't have time for anything else on my plate. And she was persistent in a good way and finally got my curiosity up. And I'm like, okay, I guess I'll look into essential oils. I really don't want to because I'm afraid that they'll probably be super exciting and interesting and I will probably get into them. And that's really exactly what happened. I was super curious. I started first. My question was, what brand is best? I was hesitant to just dive into a company just because somebody asked me to. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to do my research. So after a lot of time spending on Google researching different companies, I came to the conclusion that according to them, they were all the best. Oh. According to their website. None of them said, we're okay. You know, they're all like, we have the best essential oils. So I'm like, okay, this does not help. I spent all of this time, you know, asking all the right questions and everything. So I realized I could either continue Googling and be super confused, or I could get certified. So That's what I decided to do.
Okay. So you are a certified aromatherapist. Is that what it's called?
Technically, it's certified clinical aromatherapist. Okay. Because I did go through the scholars program. Okay. Through Aromahead Institute, and that is the title that I achieved that they issued at the time.
Fantastic. So you said you started essential oils about 10 years ago. How long before you became a certified clinical aromatherapist?
It was actually within the year.
Wow.
I was super curious, like I said, and I had a lot of people at the time following me for the other reasons and learned that a lot of my audience actually was interested in essential oils. So at the time, my blog was called Nourishing Treasures, and I put out a post. I'm like, hey, is anybody interested in learning about essential oils? And I had a ton of interest. So I started a Facebook group devoted to essential oils that had like 1,000 members in the first week. Like, it was like, whoa, like, wow. Okay, I have all these people looking to me for answers. I need to figure out what I'm doing. So I ended up taking the entire summer and taking a deep dive. I earned my certified aromatherapist title that summer within just a few months and went on to earn the certified clinical title through the fall. I homeschool my kids, so that's why I kind of try to cram it all into that summer. But it was super fascinating for me. So I just could not get enough. I just wanted more and more and more and more and more.
Wow. Let me tell you guys, that is a fantastic accomplishment. I know that because I didn't finish that certification. I started it, but I didn't finish it yet. We'll just put that dot yet on there.
Yes.
So what types of things did you I guess I'll use, what did you have to do in order to earn these certifications?
So there's an anatomy and physiology section that I think typically is can be a stumbling block for most people. It's super geeky, super nerdy, talks about the body. You'd think, why does this have to do with anything with essential oils? Like, why do I have to know this? But it's actually super fascinating. Mm-hmm. Talks about the skin, talks about how inhalation works, talks about ingesting and the pros and cons of all of those. So it was actually super fascinating for me. And then I think the other thing that people say that, you know, I've talked to that have graduated or have enrolled and not quite graduated is that final report. Like, it sounds really scary. I ended up, funnily enough, calling it using essential oils safely. And it was on the topic of essential oil safety. And I ended up converting that to an ebook as a free download at the time. And so, yeah, clearly I was definitely hooked on the safety aspect of using essential oils right from the very beginning.
Wonderful. That's perfect. And I think I've been using essential oils at least a decade, I think longer, actually. And I didn't know that there was any concern about safety the way I was introduced to it. And then as I began to study more and learn more, I was like, wait a minute. There's conflicting information about what is safe and what isn't safe regarding essential oils. And that's the name of your Facebook group. It's called Using Essential Oils Safely, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. So, and that link will be in the show notes, but you can go to Facebook and just type in the search bar Using Essential Oils Safely and up will pop. And how big is your group right now?
Over 175,000 members.
That's impressive, sister. That is impressive. Crazy. And there's lots of personalities in there. Lots and lots.
Yes.
So, okay. So let's talk about, I'd love for you to maybe talk about what are some common safety concerns regarding essential oils?
Sure. Well, let's just start with inhalation. Mm-hmm. Some of the safety concerns could be diffusing too long.
Okay.
So my recommendation is, of course, choose a safe essential oil for everybody that's exposed to your diffuser. So that can be something that you have to select different essential oils for if you're diffusing with children or your pets or anyone on medication. But the safety guideline for diffusing is 10 minutes on and 20 minutes off. Okay. And the reason is we don't want to diffuse all day. That is just too much. We can get headaches. We can feel nauseous, especially depending on the essential oils that may seem, you know, really intense, like peppermint, which has a lot of menthol. But just that constant inhalation of the same aroma is just not beneficial for the body. And our bodies don't respond properly when we have a continuous aroma that we are smelling. For example, even a skunk smell, after a while, our body, it's called olfactory fatigue. So our olfactory fatigue will kick in and we don't really smell the skunk smell anymore, even though it's clearly there. Like, we're in our kitchen, we're baking bread, whatever we're doing. We don't really notice it anymore, but somebody will walk in the kitchen and go, oh, wow, it smells amazing. And we're like, what? So it can be too much for those essential oils, which are highly concentrated, to have that continuous effect on our body that can end up being overdone. So
okay.
The other aspect is using essential oils topically and not diluting them first. Essential oils are super, super concentrated. Mm-hmm. Typically, you want one drop of essential oil per teaspoon of carrier. That gives you a 1% dilution when applying to the skin. There are exceptions, of course. You can use 10 or 20% dilutions for like a sore muscle, but for the most part, you are going to end up in the 1 to 3 or maybe 5% range. So diluting them before applying them to the skin is super important because they are very, very concentrated, hundreds of times more concentrated than even herbal extracts.
Wow.
So some of the adverse reactions that can happen if you don't properly dilute could be irritation, redness, sensitization, could be phototoxicity. If you are using something like lemon essential oil, bergamot essential oil, a lot of the citrus essential oils can present a phototoxic reaction with exposure to the sun. So that is something you could even get blisters on your skin.
Oh, wow.
So you want to be careful of that. And as far as ingesting goes, the easy answer is don't do it.
Right.
There's typically going to be a lot more risk involved with ingesting than any benefit. And that is a whole other subject. I don't know if you want to open that can of worms or just leave it there on the shelf or not. But
we'll leave it there for just a minute, because okay. I know a lot of people think that it's just as safe as it can be to ingest essential oils. And I learned a long time, because I did. Because I didn't know any different, and people said that you could. And so I was throwing back that lemon essential oil every day, you know, a couple drops, because the liver loves lemon, and evidently not so much, because it can do a lot of damage to your organs on the inside, right?
Well, the difference is lemon essential oil comes from the rinds in a very concentrated amount versus the lemon juice that's inside of the lemon that your liver loves. So right. It's very, very different.
Very different. That's true. Okay. So I want to go back a couple paragraphs ago. Sure. So tell the audience what a carrier is.
So a carrier oil is something like jojoba oil, almond oil, olive oil. Heck, if all you have is butter, go for it. But okay. Something that you are going to dilute your essential oil with. Now, while essential oils aren't oily, they do need that oil as a base in order to properly mix with. So if you are trying to dilute your essential oils in water, that's not going to work. Oil and water doesn't mix. Like, we learned that in grade school, right? Mm-hmm, so when we're hearing this information, like, yeah, just throw essential oils in your water. And no, that doesn't really work.
Okay. So you want to use a fat to dilute the essential oil in, like you said, even if it's butter. I love butter. Okay, that's a whole nother subject
too. I haven't actually used butter to dilute my essential oils, but I'm
guessing. I get it. But you want to use an oil that is a healthier oil. Like, you probably don't want to use canola oil or corn oil. Some of those toxic oils, you don't want to use those. So like you said, like olive oil, a good olive oil can be used. Sweet almond oil. I've done apricot seed oil and jojoba oil. All those are kind of, do you recommend people buy those types of oils off Amazon?
Yes, I do. Just make sure you're getting organic, unrefined, cold pressed, like the best versions of the oils that you can.
Okay. I have bought mine from Amazon. I just wanted to make sure I was doing that okay. So that's good to know. Okay. So that's what a carrier oil is. And you said a 1% or a 10% dilution is one drop of essential oil in a teaspoon of oil, carrier oil.
1% dilution. So it's 1%. One drop of essential oil, one teaspoon of carrier is a 1% dilution.
That is so much easier to understand than the ounces and you know what I mean? Like that's so much easier. Okay. So now talk about what phototoxicity is and what it looks like, or the results of it, however you want to describe it.
Right. So furanocoumarin is actually the constituent that is present in certain essential oils, and that's the one to look out for. That is present in bergamot, lemon, lime. It is not present in sweet orange, so you don't have to worry about that. So tangerine and clementine, mandarin, those are also okay. Mm. But it can, if not properly diluted and applied to the skin, it can cause that interaction when UV light is exposed to that essential oil on your skin. And it can be pretty severe. Even just one example is in the news, these girls were making limeade out in the sun and they were using limes. I mean, we're not even talking about essential oils here, but knowing that essential oils can be cold pressed, especially with citrus essential oils, they are often cold pressed, which just means a bunch of rinds are thrown in some water, kind of macerated around a bit. The oil is floating on the top. They skim that off and sell it as an essential oil. Mm. Your skin is touching those rinds in the sun. Even at that concentration, they had burns all over them. On their hands. Like, this is literally like something you can Google and find out.
Wow.
So much more concentrated is the essential oil. And people aren't aware of this. We say oil. this is lemon oil, this is lime oil. And my first thought was it's oil, like coconut oil and olive oil. I had no idea at first that you had to dilute them. They're right there on the shelf, right? Like, I don't know, even if it says essential oil, like we don't know. Right. And that's the thing, like we don't know what we don't know. So all these mistakes that people are making, I made a couple of mistakes myself. Like we don't know until we educate ourselves. And the crazy thing is like, we don't even realize we need the education until something happens, until we're throwing those essential oils in our water and drinking them and our stomach's feeling funny, or we have a burn on our mouth, or we're diffusing constantly and we're feeling lightheaded, or we have a headache, or our kids are complaining of breathing and we've been using eucalyptus and we had no idea. So there's all these things that can happen. And that's how most of the people find me and find my Facebook group, is they're Googling because they're having these issues. And they're like, oh my gosh, I'm not going crazy. This is a thing.
Yeah.
So I really believe awareness is key. And just knowing what to be aware of, like the phototoxicity, like that can be a pretty serious thing, having burns because you don't know that you have to dilute first.
Right. You know, and it goes back to, I'm sure you did case studies, right? For your certifications.
Yes.
What types of stories, that's what a case study is, a story. What types of case studies did you run across as you were doing this?
Well, for the case studies, honestly, I did them for myself and my family. Like I kept it simple. I didn't try to find a stranger and go on, you know, do all that. Like it wasn't like a medical research in that sense. It was like, okay, let's try this blend and see what happens and how it works. But yes, I mean, there's been in the Facebook group, like there's numerous comments from people that have had even medically verifiable reactions. Like they have ulcers, their esophagus is eroding, and their doctor literally said it's because you've been ingesting these essential oils for this amount of time. I have somebody who's an ER nurse that has reported to me certain things without saying names. Like this person came in, this thing happened, it was essential oils. So there's unfortunately a lot of adverse reactions that happen simply from misuse because we don't know.
So then why use essential oils?
Well, there are a lot of benefits. So once you are aware of the different concerns, like, okay, make sure I'm diffusing the correct essential oils for my situation in a reasonable amount of time. If I'm applying them to the skin on the right spot, again, using the right essential oils, making sure they're properly diluted, being aware of any potential contraindications with medications or interactions, making sure that you're using kid-safe essential oils. And I don't mean that as any trademark brand, but make sure that essential oils that are safe for children, you're using with your children. Essential oils that are safe for pregnancy, you are using or recommending for someone who is pregnant. If there's anybody on medications, that you have that awareness. There's just things to learn and understand as you are using essential oils. And once you know better, then you can do better. And there's a lot of benefits.
That's wonderful. I love essential oils. They make my belly feel better as I get kind of, you know, nauseated or gassy or whatever. I'm like, that's TMI. But I have a little bottle of fennel essential oil that I just will wave under my nose and go to sleep at night, you know, things like that. I just, and I use essential oils not quite every day, but nearly every day, just for comfort, you know, in different regards, and like mostly just the fennel oil. But
I have to say something about the fennel essential
please.
Oil.
Yeah.
It's actually not one that I recommend using.
Okay.
And here's the thing, like we hear about fennel, we hear about anise, we hear about tarragon and oregano. Mm-hmm. We're familiar with those because they're spices, right? We use any sauce and everything else. We know that fennel as an herb is great for digestion, but it doesn't always translate over when you're using the essential oil.
Interesting.
Not to say it's not beneficial.
Right.
Fortunately, fennel is one that can be potentially carcinogenic.
Oh, that's interesting. Good to
just
know.
Like
see?
Basil essential oil, nutmeg essential oil. There are a few essential oils that during the steam distillation process, potentially carcinogenic constituents they distill over, but the protective anti-carcinogenic constituents for some essential oils don't actually distill over, making the essential oil not safe where the herb is.
That is fascinating.
Yes.
I have never heard that ever.
It may help your tummy feel better, and that's great, but outweighing like the pros and cons, the benefit, honestly, you're better off drinking fennel tea and then you don't have that risk.
Right.
So it's just something to be aware of.
No, that's, thank you for saying that. And that's a perfect, see, that's a perfect example of, I didn't even know that that was a thing, this carcinogenic non and the, all that. I knew the steam distilled. I understood that, but I didn't realize that that was even potentially a thing. So thank you very much for sharing that with me and with others. And that brings me to a question I have. In general, do you recommend, you know, 5-10 essential oils that are essential for just every day or that you can use, draw from? Does that make sense?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I know I get asked this and I resisted answering this in my group for a long period of time.
Yeah.
Simply because like everyone has different needs.
True.
Some families don't have children. Some do. Some have pets. Some don't. It's all over the place. But there are. Yeah. Let's see if I can do this off the top of my head. But top 5, top 10 essential oils.
Whatever you want.
Are going to be safe for everybody that don't have drug interactions and all of that.
Yes.
My favorite essential oil is Helichrysum essential oil.
Okay.
Now, it's one of the pricier ones, but it's also a staple in my home.
Mm-hmm.
My son, who is now 15, he grew up using Helichrysum essential oil because as a boy, he got lots of bumps and bruises. He was very active. Some girls are also very active. They need Helichrysum essential oil. Mm-hmm. And it's actually funny. He used to call it Heavenichrysum because it was so beneficial and amazing and wonderful. But it's a really great essential oil for bumps and bruises, for topical skin issues, for muscle aches, things like that. Whenever anyone in my home like bumps themselves and they're like, oh, like they think they're going to get a bruise, we just run and we grab the pre-diluted Helichrysum essential oil and, and put a drop or two on. And I've literally seen swelling go down right before my eyes.
Wow.
Like one of my old YouTube channels, I ran in the house and took a video immediately because I had strangely bumped my head getting out of my car. It's like the only time in my life I've done it. But I'm like, oh, I got to record this. So I ran in and I'm like, see, it's like there's a bump and you could kind of see it. I immediately put the Helichrysum on and you could tell by the end of the video, it was only a couple of minutes that the swelling had gone down.
That's crazy.
So it is a little pricey, but let me tell you, it's absolutely worth it. Another essential oil that I recommend is tea tree essential oil.
Mm-hmm.
Not for the smell. It is very medicinal smelling, but it's antiviral, antibacterial, antifungal, and it's amazing paired with lemon essential oil for cleaning. So tea tree and lemon are my dynamic duo when it comes to cleaning. Those are the ones that I use for cleaning.
Okay.
Bathrooms, kitchen counters, whatever, you name it. It's amazing for cleaning.
Okay.
So Helichrysum, tea tree, lemon. Another one that I love to recommend, and I know half of your listeners are going to absolutely cringe when I say it, is geranium. It's one of those. Love it or you hate it. But it is wonderful for emotional issues. So whether it's cranky toddlers, teenagers, or husbands, it can be really great for making people feel more relaxed and calm emotionally.
Okay.
Another one I would recommend is fir needle. This one is an amazing replacement. And it actually, it's way better than eucalyptus for any sort of congestion and colds.
Wow.
And it's safe for the whole family, all ages.
Okay.
Not safe if you're diffusing with a dog in the room.
Okay.
So eucalyptus is safe for dogs, but not safe for kids.
Kids.
But it's amazing for congestion and colds. So that would be the other one that I would recommend. Another one would be sweet orange. That is a really good calming essential oil. It's not a sedative, but it's a great calming essential oil. I like to mix it with fir needle, actually, for colds and congestions and coughs.
Okay. Okay.
Speaking of sedatives, my favorite sedative is sandalwood. Sandalwood okay. and cedarwood are both amazing sedatives.
Okay.
So far I've mentioned 7 and mm-hmm. I have not mentioned lavender. It is really not one of my favorite essential oils. I'm not a huge fan of the floral aromas.
Yeah.
And I do believe it's overhyped.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people recommend and like to use it for sleep, but while it's calming, it's not actually sedative. Cedarwood, sandalwood, those have heavy sedative properties that are really amazing for sleep. That being said, lavender and tea tree combined are really great for an anti-itch roller for bug bites. So I'm on 8. So 2 more essential oils that I recommend. Frankincense. I'm going to put that in the top 10 as well. I do think it can be overhyped in the aspect of a lot of people recommend it for like everything. And unfortunately, I have to say that I'm a little skeptical of essential oil companies that promote it because it's super expensive. It's actually really not the best thing for, say, pain. That being said, it is amazing for a lot of topical skin issues like anti-aging. So I do like to recommend and use frankincense essential oil. You can use it in a facial serum, for example, and that's really amazing too. So I think I'm on 9. What would be my 10th recommendation? I'm going to go with bergamot.
Okay.
Bergamot's a good one. Now, this I did mention previously does have the potential for phototoxic reaction when used topically, but I love inhaling it. Mm. So bergamot mixed with geranium, for example, would be great for calming. It's a great calming essential oil. So I would throw that in as one of my top 10 as well.
Lovely. I learned a lot from you. Thank you very much. That's really great. I think that essential oils are, everybody who listens to my podcast or follows me in my Facebook group, I'm really big into natural remedies.
Mm-hmm.
And I do herbs, grow them, tincture them, whatever them. And I think essential oils fits in alongside herbal remedies. And I think that it's my opinion, but I think we share the opinion that essential oils are so beneficial if used properly. Are essential oils similar to herbs in that when you're using herbs, it takes a while for that herb to begin to react with your body? Like if you're trying to use herbal remedies instead of a pharmaceutical remedy, it often takes time for herbs to get in there and start to do the job. Do you find the same to be with essential oils, or are they a little bit more instantaneous? Or
They are more quick acting, mm-hmm. but I think the key here is using the correct essential oil
mm-hmm.
in the correct way.
Mm-hmm.
And using the right dilution as well if you are using it topically. So you could apply an essential oil and you might even have the correct dilution, but if it's not the right essential oil for the issue or if you're not placing it in the right spot,
right.
I know there's a lot of recommendations for just rub everything on the feet or roll everything on the spine. And it's like, no, my bug bite's on my knee. You know, I have my elbow is sprained or whatever. It's like, it's not going to work that way. So. But with inhalation, that works instantaneously.
Like okay.
Those essential oil molecules are being inhaled. They're triggering the limbic area of your brain for emotional issues. They're going directly into your lungs. They're hitting the alveoli that are those little tiny blood cells, one cell wide, that's in the lungs that then distributes it into your body.
Wow.
So if you are using the proper essential oils for the job, you should have fairly quick results, whether you're inhaling or using topically. But okay. I agree with you. Like I say, essential oils are one of the tools that we mm-hmm. have, mm-hmm. and they're not my first choice. I'm not one of those that's like, how can I use my essential oils today? Or whatever health issue you have, looking immediately first to essential oils, you may not get the result that you need because maybe herbs is the best thing. Maybe it's a diet thing. Maybe it's a food thing. Maybe you need sleep. Maybe you need to drink more water. Like there's a lot of things that we can do And essential oils, I think, belong in our tool belt of natural health remedies, but they're not always the first thing to grab.
Perfect. Okay. I think I have two, maybe three more questions.
Okay.
I mean, I could just keep talking.
We could do this all day.
Right? So tell me, I've heard the term the blood-brain barrier in regards to essential oils and other things too, but what is a blood-brain barrier?
So typically pharmaceuticals, a lot of them, the chemical composition is too large, like molecularly, to go through that blood-brain barrier. Now, with essential oils, they all can pass it. And that's because the constituents are so small. And again, when we inhale them, they're affecting that limbic area of the brain, and they're small enough to affect the brain directly. Mm. They're one of the only things that can affect emotions so quickly. Mm. So yeah, all essential oils, it's not just particular ones. They all technically go through that blood-brain barrier.
So the blood-brain barrier itself, is that, I'm just going to let you tell me what that is, because I could guess and it probably is wrong.
Technically, I don't know how it's medically described, but I do know that essential oils, because they're inhaled and those constituents are tiny enough to be distributed through the air, that we can inhale them, and that's how they can so quickly get to the brain and affect the brain so directly.
Okay.
Whereas a medication or other things that we are consuming, that has to be digested and then pushed into the bloodstream.
The way
that our bodies are designed, not all of our blood actually gets into and affects the brain directly, but inhalation can.
Inhalation. So that's powerful.
It's very powerful.
It's very powerful. And I mean powerful in a very good way.
Yes.
Back to using it safely to be able to help with mood, to be able to help with other, you know, things that are going on in our brain. Gosh, there's so many things going on in our brain. Right. And to be able to, I know I had a friend who, she would keep like a handkerchief that she had put like, and you may say that this was a bad idea, but based on our knowledge at the time,
yes.
But she would like go to class and it would be boring or she'd be tired or whatever, and she had put like a drop of rosemary on a handkerchief and she would just pull it out and sniff it, and that would kind of wake her up so that she could pay attention, and because rosemary is very kind of energetic and, you know, uplifting that way.
Yes. And there's actually a lot of research showing how beneficial rosemary is while you're studying, that it can boost your performance in your memory. And a lot of that has to do with the 1-8-cineol that's in rosemary and other things. Eucalyptus also has a lot of 1-8-cineol, but yes, that's very stimulating on the nervous system and the brain.
Cool. Yes. So that's, I think that's fantastic. But again, we want to be safe. Okay. So my second question is, what's the shelf life of essential oils and how do you store them?
Okay, well, the shelf life actually varies depending on the essential oil, and that has to do with the constituents. Now, I mentioned that sandalwood and cedarwood are sedative. Mm-hmm. That's because the constituents are mostly base notes, which are the larger, heavier molecular size. They're larger in molecular size, heavier constituents that make up an essential oil. Mm-hmm. So essential oils are made up of dozens, sometimes hundreds of those constituents, and they have varying sizes. Lemon essential oil, for example, has a lot of top notes, which have a smaller, lighter molecular size and structure. And so those have different effects on the body. And I totally forgot what your question was.
My question was, what's the shelf life of an essential oil? Coming back. It's okay. Sometimes I was just fascinated. I was like,
there's a lot of back like info for that.
Yeah. So
based on that molecular size and structure, that actually is reflected in how long the essential oils last. So if the essential oils are mostly composed of top notes and you're opening those bottles, the top notes evaporate out of the bottle a lot more quickly than the base notes do.
Okay.
So sandalwood, for example, is going to last a lot longer than lemon essential oil. And then, of course, we have middle notes and everything in between. Generally, they can last 2 years.
Okay.
Like tea tree and lemon. and up to 6 to 8 years for something like sandalwood.
Okay.
But the shelf life can be extended by a year or two with refrigeration.
Okay.
So the best way to store them is in your refrigerator.
Hmm.
When I first started out with essential oils, I used the butter compartment in my refrigerator, mm-hmm. graduated to the vegetable drawer, and now I have actually two college dorm fridges.
I was going to say, I bet you have your own fridges for them.
I do now. Yes, I do now. So that is the best way.
Interesting.
If your listeners want a thorough, extensive list of shelf life for 240 plus essential oils,
mm-hmm.
you can go right to my website and access the first module of my course for free. And that is one of the downloads that you can get right there. It's all about shelf life. So
perfect. Some of
the things that I touched on today are actually explained deeper in those first few modules and lessons.
That's perfect. Wonderful. And what is your website?
LeahJacobson.com.
And it's L-E-A, not yes. L-E-A-J-A-C-O-B-O-S-O-N. No.
Just B-S-O-N.
Yeah, right. I got too many O's.
Okay.
I just kept on going. Just how many O's can we put in her name? Just Jacobson with not an O after the FB. That'll all be in the show notes. So don't worry about my spelling. So go to your website, download that first module. That'll help with shelf life. What about an unopened bottle of essential oil?
It depends how long you've had it and how long you've stored it. Like if you bought your unopened bottle of essential oil 8 years ago,
mm-hmm.
it might still have expired if it only had a 1 or 2 year shelf life, especially if you haven't refrigerated it.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, if you bought it 2 years ago and it has a 2 year shelf life and you have been opening it frequently, then, you know, the more you open your bottle, the warmer
makes
your
sense.
Environment is that your bottle is in,
right.
the more light hitting your bottle, like as beautiful as some of the bottles are, please don't line them in your windows. Like,
right,
that's
right.
not a great idea. The UV can break that down and yeah,
right.
your shelf life.
So similar to food storage, you want to store it in a cool, dry and dark environment
yes.
for
yes.
longer shelf life. So it's very similar that way.
Yep.
Then if you don't use them regularly, I would assume you'd want to buy the smaller size bottles because a lot of times essential oil companies sell them in different sizes. So maybe start with smaller size bottles. That way you're not investing a ton. And if it does expire before it's empty, you haven't lost that much in the way of money.
Right. Absolutely. I personally buy 2 to 4 ounce size bottles of lemon and tea tree only because I use them in cleaning. So I'm using them a lot and I will definitely go through them before they expire.
Right.
But right. Absolutely. I would only purchase essential oils. And that just goes with single essential oils too. Like you don't need a 200 bottle collection of essential oils.
Mm-hmm.
You can do a lot with just 10 to 12.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just another thing too, is just be mindful. We don't need to have a collection of them. And that was
right.
another thing that I thought starting out, like, okay, what brand is best? And realize that it's not about brand. And then also, I don't need a full collection.
Right.
Like, it's cool to have everything match, but really, it's totally not necessary to have big, large kits.
Right. And I would think, I'm sure if our listeners join, I've been a member of her Facebook group for a really long time. I didn't even know it until I was like, wait a minute. Know this Facebook group. It's a great Facebook group. Using essential oils safely is the name of the Facebook group. But you can go in there and ask people questions and they will respond with all sorts of things. So how to store something, how to make a blend, what is a blend, all those different things. You can go in there and safely ask questions and get good answers. Wouldn't you agree?
Well, so that's the thing that makes our group super unique, is there's not a free for all when it comes to people asking questions and providing answers. And
okay.
So we found a way, this was several years ago, we're like, okay, for one thing, we're getting the same question, like every cold and flu season,
mm-hmm.
there's 200 posts about cold and flu.
Right.
And then we also had a lot of people that just joined in, people that weren't educated, giving information that I'd have to keep constantly correcting. So when you do join our community, you can either search for your question. I guarantee you it's probably been answered already by this point, but you can submit a question and my wonderful admin Roxanne will tag you in the post where it's already been addressed and answered.
Oh, wonderful.
That way, you know, the information is coming directly from me, a certified clinical aromatherapist, rather than getting 500 responses, all with different opinions as to which essential oil is best for this issue.
Right. Lovely.
You confused.
That's lovely. Yeah. I appreciate you clarifying that. That's really fantastic. Good for you. Mm-hmm. That's wonderful. You have been an absolute delight. Like I could continue just asking you all these questions and because I find it to be fascinating. Like you said, essential oils isn't the end all be all of healthcare. However, it is a tool in the toolbox.
Yes.
And if you know how to use it safely and wisely and correctly, I guess it's the same as safely, it can be such a benefit to the health, overall health of your body, your family, and in service of others as well.
Yes.
So, well, you mentioned your module one more time. It's on your website, leahjacobson.com. And tell us one more time what your first module is. And then what else do you have to go along with that module?
So it's part of the course. So if you go to my website, it's on the homepage. And I say, like, this is the first module of the course. You get free access and it talks about shelf life. It's really all about the introduction to essential oils. So I talk about what they are and what they aren't, how they're made, like all of those sort of intro questions that a lot of people have. And I actually just released all of those on my podcast as an audio version just this month.
Wow.
So there's that option as well. Since we're on a podcast, there may be people more interested in listening to that rather than joining a course and downloading that information on text. So that would be another option for anybody interested in that information.
And is your podcast the same as your Facebook group?
You know, it is the same name.
How about that? Look at you. So smart.
Trying to keep it simple for everyone.
So smart and fancy. So using essential oil safely podcast.
Yes.
Perfect. Well, thank you again so much. This has been an absolute pleasure to get to know you and get to learn from you. Thank you for being here.
Well, thanks for inviting me. This has been super fun. And if your readers have any questions, I would be happy to answer those too. Maybe we could do a follow-up Q&A podcast.
I would love that.
Want to do?
Yes. Yeah, I would love that. Okay. That'd be perfect. We'll set that up too. Thank you so much. That's a great idea. All right, everyone. Enjoy your day. Thank you. Thank you so much for listening to Joyfully Prepared. I'm grateful for you and appreciate you inviting me into your life. Please subscribe and tell all your friends about this delightful podcast. Leaving a joyful review would earn you all sorts of karma points too. I invite you to join my free Facebook group at www.joyfulprepgroup.com and join with other like-minded mothers.